Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, I think about, you know, talking about old-time Christian and new Christian. Well, the new Christian, when they needed healing for their grandchild, they couldn't get it. So they come to the old-time Christian, yes, and it gets healed.
Amen.
And the old-time Christian moved an alcoholic husband to tears and repentance. He got rid of his alcohol because the anointing and the power of the old-time Christian, yes, moved on him so much that he got rid of his alcohol,
amen,
threw his tobacco away, and he took control over the smallest member in his body, called his tongue, and he quit cursing and stuff. And he's calling this old-time preacher every day, say, brother, man, I really move. But I got to get this new-time Christian, my wife, to come to church with me. But she likes the new-time Christian dress. She doesn't like the old-time Christian dress. And she fought him, and he went back to his old-time ways. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. You understand that? She had an opportunity to accept the revelation of the Lord and allowed God to do what he just showed her. You know, she wants to wear sleeveless tops, wants to wear pants, you know, wants to wear shorts. This message restricts me. This message over here, you know, I just don't like this. And I'll tell you, I've got to be careful how I speak, but I went up and took probably the most filthy, the most perverted, the most unclean. I wanted to get my shoes sanitized to walk into this motel room to get the belongings of an individual out of them. And I'm telling you, it was so unclean of a place. It was a nasty place. Little gal who was trying to help was scared. She said, I can't stay in there another night. Brought her over and showed her a place of holiness, a place of refuge. A place that, you know, we can offer some assistance. But, you know, listen, if you want to wear pants, sister, that's okay. If you want to wear jewelry, that's okay. If you want to wear makeup, that's okay. You want to wear your earrings? That's all right. But when you come into my place, these are my requirements. But what I'm saying is holiness or hell. Brother John, it's holiness or it's hell. It's holiness or hell. It's that simple. It don't matter what they say. Don't matter what they reason with. Because I find when men or women reject holiness, I know the road already. Mm-hmm. Brother Randy, I know the trail. I know where it's going. And the thing is the Bible says on the day of adversity that a man considers ways. That goes with women too. And when your world has absolutely collapsed around you, you need to consider your ways. Brethren, if I find myself in a place, I can't blame it on my husband. I can't blame it on my wife. I can't blame it on my sister. And I surely can't blame it on God. Brethren, we are not bewitched people. You take a woman that's being abused by her husband, God will allow that and suffer it, but he'll be with that woman. And she could find salvation in that beating. You remember what Brother Pike said about the man that got beat for preaching the gospel there? He said the Lord suffered it to show Christ in the earth getting beat and abused. You remember what he said about the black man, Brother John? Where he said, hey, they had God with them while they were being beat by the white man and being taken advantage of and enslaved and whipped and beat. He said this. He said they had God then. But I want to be like the white man. Worst thing that ever happened to him. Worst thing that ever happened. They'd have been better off to be beaten. They'd have been better off to be abused. And all those things. Brethren, when the Bible says that you're better off to pluck an eye out and enter into the kingdom maimed. Understand that? Then go to hell with your eyesight. The Bible's real. How many believe the word?
Amen.
That's what I want to do. Let's pray together. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I thank you, Father, for the spirit of the word. I thank you for the power of the word. I thank you for the anointing of the word. I thank you for the truth of the word. And I thank you, Lord, that this word be true and every man be a liar. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the mind of Christ. Thank you for the wisdom and knowledge, Lord God, and understanding. Thank you, Lord, for the steps that are ordered by the Lord, Lord God. Father, I praise you. I rejoice. And I'm so thankful, so full of gratitude for you being my Lord and my God and my strength and my power and my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. He gives people prescription medication, brother, to help the preacher out. Amen. And praise God, man. Hallelujah. No matter if the doctors say they need 3 milligrams, let's give them 9. Praise God. Man, God's good. Amen. We're serving a mighty God. Doctor says, no, I think we ought to keep him on 50 milligrams. I say, man, 125 is working good, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give it to him. You say, you believe in that stuff? Well, the Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, huh? Okay, so there's something good in medicine. I know it's abused. We got dope addicts, drug addicts, and we got people abusing doctors' prescriptions. We got doctors putting people on all this dope and stuff, and got a bunch of Looney Tunes walking around the world. So no, I'm not praising that, brother. But I can say this. When my mother was dying of Alzheimer's, my wife, there was one medicine she wouldn't let her miss. The woman was out of her mind. She was going out of her mind. And the thing is gave her some medications and it helped. So I could see why the Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It done some good there. See, the word of God's true. People have abused the medicines. You know, food's good, isn't it? Huh? Sometimes we abuse it. Huh? Come on. Bible said you better put a knife to your throat. Come on now. But we don't want to talk about that part of the scriptures. I like this part over here. I like this part. You know, bro, we got to take the whole counsel of God. We got to take the complete word of God and apply it. Amen. And walk therein. Lord is good, man. I'm thrilled and to be a son of God. I'm happy to be a child of God. Amen. I'm so blessed to know that the word of God is real and alive and that I have access to petition the throne of God and come boldly there. You see, I'm thrilled about that. Some people have never accessed him. Oh, they got prayers, but he says that they pray amiss. Do you realize that people pray and it never gets to the throne of God? You know, we think that his throne is being bombarded by prayers. There's so many prayers that don't even get to him. He said his ears are closed to the cry of the sinner. Oh, how they find repentance. There's a way. It's through the ministry. If God doesn't hear their prayer, they better find a man of God that God does hear their prayer to remit their sin, for God could hear their prayer. Come on now, that's the Bible. But do they teach that in the churches? Absolutely not. Do you ever hear that? Nobody needs a minister today. Praise God. They'll go to the scriptures, you know, and they'll take them out of context and out of line. You know, have no need of man. Well, what in the world did God send a fivefold ministry for if they don't have no need of man? Well, I got this thing worked out. I got this personal relationship with God. I could talk to him and go to his throne. Well, sure you do. What kind of preacher would ever deny that to you? But you also, at the very same time, let me tell you something. You know, a private in the army, he would never be denied the fact to go to the general, but they're still in order before he ever gets that general. Do you think the general, the five-star general sitting there with a private talking to him, he don't like the way the drill sergeant had bad breath in his face? Come on now, I'm asking you the question. Do you think he's going to get an audience with the general? Well, don't you take, the Bible said, my sheep know his voice. I say, you sure they do. I could tell if you've ever made contact to the throne of God because you know his voice and a stranger you won't follow. But when you're following after strangers, then I question that you're hearing the voice of God. Come on now, we got to take it line upon line, brother, and it's pretty simple. Amen. The word of God is yea and amen. The word of God is real. It's not for private interpretation. It ain't for I could say what I think it says. It ain't for I could convince you or convert you. Well, this is what I believe it says. I don't care. When I was teaching at pastor seminar in Africa, they said, well, Andy was sitting there. Stephanie was there in the thing. And they said, well, you know, pastor, we want to ask you a question, or Brother Rob. And, you know, what's your opinion of this? And I said, you know, I didn't come several thousand miles across this waterway to give you my opinion. My opinion doesn't mean anything. What I think don't mean nothing. The way I feel about it has nothing to do with it. If I don't have Bible, then I got no business with it. I'm not called in defense of a denomination, in defense of a feeling, in a defense of an emotion. I'm called in defense of one thing, and that's the Word of God. And I can show it to you in the Bible. The little teaching we done the other night, I put words all across it. I said, if I can't vindicate everything that I put on that board teaching the other night, I said, then you need to call me on the carpet. I mean, that's your obligation, just as a brother. There's a proper order to do it. You can stand up in this church and rebuke me right now. Hey, man, I'll say, praise God, let's go with it. But the thing is, that's not order. That's not how you deal with a shepherd. There's a biblical way to deal with a shepherd and a biblical order in doing so. You know, I understand the order and the counsel of God, and I've seen it abused, mistreated, challenged, and in many, many aspects. You see, we're not a novice. Amen. And the thing is when my pastor sent me up here 20 years ago, I felt so much like that novice, Brother Andy, that I even questioned my pastor. And he told me, he said, Brother Rob, I'm not going to send a novice. You've been seasoned for this. This is what all the training has been for. You'll be okay. You're going to make mistakes. He said, I've never seen a man of God that didn't. I don't have a spirit of error, but I've erred. There's a big difference between an error and a spirit of error. A spirit of error is when you continue in error. And you got a spirit about it. You're just going to continue on in error. You shun correction. You shun reproof. You shun it. You overconfident. So that's the spirit of error. You see, when you think that you're right, and the Bible said, you know, but you don't know what you ought to know. Man's ways are right in his own eyes, but it says that way leads to destruction. The wide, broad path of destruction. You see, a man says, well, I'm following my heart. Well, you ignorant sucker. A man that follows his heart, thus saith the Lord, is on his way to hell. A man that follows his heart is on his way to hell, thus saith the Lord. And in fact, I said, thus saith the Lord. I just prophesied and spoke that. And if I'm wrong about that, I'll stand in the lake of fire. Come on now. Well, the Bible says that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. That's why there's so little salvation, because they don't know how to believe in their heart. That's why it's a small flock and few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it in. Because man doesn't know how to believe in his heart. He needs to be conditioned. His heart needs to be cultured. Talk about planting a seed. You know, I'll just throw a seed out there. Yeah, it'll come up. But sometimes the ground's too stony. Sometimes the heat's too hot. And the fowl of the air come and take it. Sometimes the sun scorches it out. Has to do with the man's heart ain't right. You think God was teaching them how to be farmers? They were expert farmers, but yes, he would take time to do that. But he was talking to farmers that knew those principles and using them about how to get a man into the kingdom of God. He wasn't teaching agriculture. He was teaching a biblical principle. Everything he did was outside the realms of man. And man's done nothing but 6,000 years trying to make God. That's what they've done. 6 days he creates this existence, we call it. And 6,000 years, a day of the Lord is 1,000 years. And now for 6,000 years, man's been trying to create this God the way they want him. And what they want him to be. And how they think he is. Hell, come on. You see, brethren, philosophy, rhetoric, theology, ideology. Boy, they sit, boy, and they'll get in their little intellectual little sword fights. Boy, they'll get their concordances out. Well, the Hebrew says this. Well, the Greek says this. And they get into the history and the historians. Well, you know, Brother Rob, see, the reason it's different today, because back when this was written, you know, and this is where they were living. And, you know, I've heard it all, brethren. Well, you're just overconfident. No, those are the things that made me lose confidence in myself, in my training, in my intellect, in my studies. I mean, the great apostle Paul said, all of my learning is dung. Now, why would he come up to something like that? All right, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think all of his learning was error? Absolutely not. But it was dung because he was using it for an intellectual concept to find God and to know God. That's where the dung was at. It doesn't work that way. You see, you could dress according to the doctrine of holiness, and the Bible says, oh man, praise God, a virtuous woman, man, you know, dressed in the glory of the Lord. And he said, no, a whitewashed sepulcher. Come on, this is the woman addressed pertaining unto holiness. And he said, a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. Why would he say that? Because the dress isn't what was going to enter into the kingdom. You see, it's the spirit of holiness. But the spirit of holiness will dress in holiness. But what they'll present to you is say, well, God just looks on the heart. When they tell you that, they got Bible for that. But they better not stop with that. They better not stop with that. When a man tells you that God just looks on the heart, that man needs to get a real dose of salvation and needs to get born again. Because the Bible goes way beyond that. That's just a little glimpse. The Bible said, you know, they that call upon the name of the Lord are saved. Okay, so are we just going to take that as a blanket statement in the Word? You know, I've seen people that are murderers and perverts and sodomites and pedophiles, and something bad goes wrong, they call upon the name of the Lord. Are they saved because they called upon the name of the Lord? You see, we got to go line upon line and precept upon precept. Every man that is saved is called upon the name of the Lord. But everybody that's called upon the name of the Lord isn't saved. You understand that? That's the way we got to understand that. Because there's so many people. You know, we go into the formulations of baptism. Is everybody born of God and saved and filled with the Holy Ghost that's baptized in the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior Jesus? Come on, brethren. We know better than that. Right? We know better than that. We've seen too many things over the years. Well, let's just quit baptizing people. Well, would you want to do such an ignorant thing as that? We fulfill the Word. We fulfill the Word, and it's up to them to receive the Word. You understand that? I poured out my heart in church services because I had a woman sitting in my presence that I know was getting ready to get cut off from God. I mean cut off, cut off, cut off, cut off. Can I express that enough? When you're cut off means you're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You can't find good. You never can find it in this world or in the world to come. You're cut off. There's no chance of ever finding repentance of God. You understand that? No chance. You say, brother, you ain't got no Bible for that. I got all kinds of Bible for that. I could take you line upon line and show you in the scriptures that there are people that are twice dead now. Why they still yet live. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You say that all the time, preacher. Well, that's the Bible. And there's people that are twice dead walking in the earth, as well as there are people that are twice born. Amen. So the thing is this realm that you see with these eyes is just a dimension and a typical thing, brethren. You know, the Bible said that we walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by okay. Your sight is what you look at in this world. And you look at this and you think you see. You look at this and you think that you know. But the Bible said you don't know what you ought to know. You see, what senses are you operating in? What sight are you operating in? You see, when a man is trained in the intellect, oh, I went to school. I understand. Let's switch gears for a second. I'll go back. I talk about aviation often. But I'm just going to express from an aviator. I'm going to express something as a beautiful revelation that'll help you in the spiritual kingdom walk from an aviator. Okay? You know, I esteem my dad. You know, I'm sure there's a lot better pilots. There's a woman that's won the world record championship for aerobatics. One of several years in a row. You know, and you probably put my dad in an airplane beside her even back in his prime. There's things that are taking place today. You know, when I was a kid, you get on the back wheel of a bicycle and ride it for two blocks. I mean, you was pretty good. But nowadays, you know, they do that standing on their head, pedaling with their hands, huh? Evel Knievel was pretty cool when I was a kid. You know, man, he'd jump over these cars on this old bike, but the bike he had, nothing like the ones they have now. You take these guys that jump these three times the distance now, they wouldn't even dream of getting on a motorcycle like he had. But he pioneered something, okay? But I'm using my father again as an aviator. Talking about, you know, his skills and different kind of things. And he talked to me about so many things. And I seen the revelation of it. Brother Pike seen a revelation of Cinderella. Seen a revelation. I look back at a lot of things that I heard his tongue and said, wow, that's God. You know, that's the Lord speaking through this revelation. This allegory, man, it's a beautiful revelation. It's a beautiful thing. I shared things with you that he said, hey, I'd have to lay a pilot off or fire him or let him go when he's having marital problems at home. He's having problems at home. It's got his mind. Can't we glean from something like that? I know Andy's worked a many people, and there's other people, Brother Andy. There's many of y'all that work people. But I've known him working people, and these guys are having problems with their girlfriends, their boyfriends, their fiancés, their wives, or whatever. And they ain't worth a count to have on the job, are they? Why don't you go get your problems worked out, buddy? You know, and let us just men stay here and work. Come on, man. You know, and I could go on and go down the trails and talk about so many things, you know, of, you know, allegorical thought and things of such. An overconfident pilot was one of the most dangerous out there. I told my father, we hired a guy, two guys. And I said, Dan, I'm afraid of them. I said, I believe they're going to tear up one of our airplanes. And they did. And then because, you know, hey, bless God, you know, man, you got the guy now. I'm here. I've arrived. You know, you guys got 50 pilots working for you, but now you've got the pilot. Hey, I'm here. I called him John Wayne. That's what I called the guy. He's thinking John Wayne. You know, John Wayne, man, when he came in on his movie sets, I mean, hey, I'm here. Big man. He was a dominant big man. Positive and projected and pressed. He carried that off and on the stage. Okay, I called this guy that. Hey, I'm here. I'll tell you what, you get into the kingdom now, that is the most dangerous, the most terrible thing. The Bible said a haughty spirit comes before the fall, before corruption, pride, destruction, they go together. That's Bible. And when a man, you know, in the aviation world had this same kind of arrogancy, it frightened me. But see, this was before I understand revelational truths and biblical principles. Sure enough, had the photographs and the pictures. My dad's flying the lead plane. Got two wingmen on him. They're right down on the deck at 180 miles an hour, 180 knots, about 200 miles an hour on the deck, putting out, killing grasshoppers. Had a whole contract for 4 million acres. Covering some ground right on the deck. Lead man, the wingman always is a little bit higher because you got all kinds of problems that they call it. There's wake turbulences and all kinds of reasons. But when you're a hot rod, come on now, and you're wanting to project yourself, two captains in this airplane. And I got the photographs a quarter mile before they hit the ground with our airplane and destroyed it. They both lived. They slid almost 3/4 of a mile. From where the airplane hit the ground, going 200 miles an hour, and it slid and slid and slid. You say, I come to church, I didn't want to hear some fabulous story. I'm trying to save your wretched, filthy, perverted soul is what I'm trying to do. Who are you talking to? To this spirit that thinks too highly of itself. Amen. Now listen to me, saints of God. I want you to listen. I want you to listen very carefully. Because that's what I do is win souls. But what I'm saying is this man was so overconfident. I went out and I got pictures a quarter mile from there. And this number 3 airplane was down, lower. Instead of following the lead man. And I could go into a lot of explanation of what he saw through the window of the out the windshield. I could talk about the rolling hills. And he was looking at a hill up ahead and he didn't notice one in. And his props went right into the dirt. He was hot rodding. What is the purpose of this story? Because it was an arrogant, haughty spirit, and it come before the crash. And when we're arrogant and haughty, and we think we know, as the Bible said, a man thinks he knows, but he don't know what he ought to know, that's haughtiness. That's a dangerous place. You see, the hardest people to reach for God are the educated, skilled, and learned people. Now, I'm going to switch gears to you. You say, let's talk not out of aviation, let's talk the Bible or the Word. Well, let's talk about the realm right here. I'll use Andy again as a man to train people. The hardest people to get a job done in the tile business is somebody that already knows. The hardest person to take is somebody that's got some education. You could take a man that's never learned the business and he could take him and train him and say, this is the way we do it here. Then everything's in order. But when you got a man that's smarter than you and knows another way, he's going to get in the way every time. And what's going to happen? You're going to find problems and failures. I got a better idea. I got a better way. Well, let me tell you, you say, well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm going to say there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. And he is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. Okay? We went through all this other kind of stuff, and now we're talking about Jesus. Okay, now we can get on board with you. You'll never be able to get on board with me, because everything I just spoke about is your life. And it's your failures. And it's your weaknesses. I just spent several hours with an individual that their world has been distraught. They've been beat. They've been through divorces. They've been through surgeries. They've been through all these things. And they need reached. Now, let me give you an example. My grandfather, a hard-headed Coons, okay? I know that spirit well. Goes to the doctor, and he was a skilled, educated, and a very hard worker and doing well for himself. 1946. He goes into the doctor. Doctor says, you're dying. He said, you'll never work another day of your life. I know some of you heard this story. He walks out, and they gave him a prescription, and they gave him medications. They take him, and he had such high blood pressure, and he was bleeding so bad that they shoved rags through his nose and reached in his throat and pulled him out and had the rags going up his nose and coming out of his mouth. That's how high a blood pressure this man had. His heart was almost double the size of a normal heart. He goes into the doctor, you know, and they're giving him some meds and trying to get him straightened out a little bit. And he said, you need to take this. He walks out and he looks at my father. Okay, my grandfather looks at my father and he said, you know what these doctors think they know? Now, I've done that myself, but I had faith in God when I did it. Okay? This man was not a Christian man. He said, what do these doctors know? Tell me I'll never work again. He was a hard-working man. He threw the medication in the flower bed. They buried him in a few days. There was an overconfidence there. He should have listened to the physician. Are you with me, saints? He should have took the counsel, and he should have listened to the physician. And this is exactly what I said in counsel today to an individual. I said, listen, I'm a physician. I already know this antidote. I've discerned the spirit. I know the problem. And I have the antidote. But if you can't eat it and you can't take it, you'll die. You've got to take this antidote. Antidote doesn't taste good as a rule when you're a sick person and the doctor says, here, take this. Does anybody say, man, I like that? I've never taken any of the drugs the doctor's given. They tasted good. Maybe you have, but some of them are pretty nasty. Amen. Come on now, they're pretty nasty. And let me tell you, the physician is going to apply an antidote that sometimes ain't going to be too sweet to the lips, huh? Right. A little bit bitter to the belly, as the word says. Take of this book and eat it. Amen. Come on now. It might be sweet as honey going down, but it's going to be bitter to that belly. That belly shows your life of a man. And it ain't going to like it. If you're looking for a religion that just suits your fancy, you're in trouble. Amen. That's why he said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. He said, they hated me, they're going to hate you also. If your religion makes you popular and everybody like you, you've never met Jesus Christ. You've never been born again. You've never come on. Well, you know, we've got to know how people skills work, Brother Rob. I know what... Oh, I'm not going to say that, Lord. I'm trying to get better. How do you say this in a nice way? Help me, Jesus. I'm rude in speech, not in knowledge. All right, let's go on. We're going to leave that one lay. Because I got the perfect... See, that's one of my problems. I got the perfect word for certain things. And it works so beautifully. But it offends people. You know, because they're polished. And they're well educated and they're well skilled. I was talking with an inmate today on the phone, and he was talking about one of the chaplains in the prison. He said, Brother Robbie's gay. I said, no, he's not, brother. I said, listen, brother. I said, you don't need to be talking that way to me. Well, he's thinking I'm rebuking him for calling the guy a pervert. I said, you know, you need to watch what you say. And I said, the man's not gay. I said, he's a filthy pervert. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. He thought he was getting reproved for telling me that this chaplain's a queer. No, the prisons are full of queer chaplains and perverts. The ladies, we get them involved in prison ministry. What do we find out? Sisters. They go down here to help and win souls into the kingdom of God, and they esteem the lesbian. And they gave her the highest honors, brought her up in front of the whole entire, all of the volunteers of the prison, and gave her the highest honors. And this old-fashioned preacher that ain't in this 2016 polished, bless me, offend nobody religion. The guy that believes in the old paths and the old landmarks and believes in the gospel way, truth and life. The one that's read the doctrines and understands of the tribulations and persecutions of the early church when they opposed the religious hour of the religion of the day. The ones that were beat and killed and martyred and burned at the stake and crucified. Amen. And he remembers and he looks at the old past and he's not going to sell out. And we were the only table that didn't stand and give a standing ovation to this stinking lesbian. Amen. I think they told me that there was over 400 volunteers there. And every one of them was on their feet, given a standing ovation, except Christian Temple Table was the only one. And I was there to set a precedence. And I hope and trust and pray in the Lord that if I wouldn't have been there, that the brothers and the sisters would have done that very thing. Brethren, they want us in the political correct society that we're living in. They want us to be polished. They don't want us to offend. They want us to be careful how we speak. And you can't speak plain. You know, well, don't offend them. You know, we might have to build a special bathroom for them. You know. This thing that Brother Chuck shared with me the other night about transology. And it's a biblical, I mean, we use it understanding of the Bible. Translation of the spirit. The transformation of mind and the transfiguration of the body. Three different works in three different dimensions. So Brother Pike said to transology. And now the bunch of slimy, transgender, transvestite, bunch of queers and sickos and perverts have taken this word and they've applied it to their alternate lifestyle of choice. God did not make them that way. They chose to be made to be taken and burned. They denied God. They denied His word. Amen. You say, preacher, you really got hate against that. Sure I do. You want to say, well, you could get arrested for hate crime. Well, praise God. Amen. Many ministers have been arrested over the years for hating iniquity and hating sin and hating the garments that are spotted with it. That's what I'm commanded to do. The Bible said, you know, they're called of God because they cry out against it and they preach against it and they don't hold the sword back from blood. Amen. I'm called to preach the gospel. I'm called to judge. I am called to judge. And I found out that in the calling to judge, that I am called to curse as much as I am to bless. That's what I was called to do. But Jesus said He didn't come to curse. I know. He came to die on the cross and shed His blood that we could have life eternal and everlasting. And He gave it to the sons of God to judge the world. Amen. And the thing is if you read in the scriptures that we've got the power to bless and to curse. Brethren, I don't have no desire to curse. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bring a blessing to you. When you reject the blessing, the only other thing that you got coming your way is the curse. You choose the curse. We showed the love of God by bringing healing to this little child and to this little baby. Mother, grandmother rejected holiness, rejected godliness, rejected virtue. And said, you know, this is what I am. My church said I could dress the way I want. I could look the way I want. I could walk the way I want. Well, her church didn't have the virtue or the anointing or the power to see a conversion. But they found the old-fashioned ways that don't remove the landmarks and they find this. But then look what was rejected. And when her husband turned back, her husband went back to the vomit. As the Bible said, the dog goes back to the vomit or the pig to the mire. The man had a touch from God, and he should have had his house in order, and he should have looked at his wife and said, look, you know I haven't been an example for you, but that's where I'm going to church. I make my decision, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what the man should have done. And if the man could have done that, his wife could have followed him because she would have seen the proper order of a man in the household. You understand that? What are you speaking about, preacher? I'm speaking about people that are dying and going to hell when they have a perfect opportunity to take the hand of the Lord and walk there into the kingdom. It's not your mind. It's not your way. It's not your will. It's not your ministry. It's not your desire. It's not your wants. It's His. And as long as you got I and you in the way, then you're going to go to hell. It's that simple. It's very simple. Amen. The thing is I'm commanded to crucify I every day. I'm commanded to get out of the way every day. Amen. Every day. It ain't my ministry. It ain't about me. It ain't about what I think. It ain't about what I know. I'm going to take you to the Word. Well, let's get in the Word then. I've been in the Word. I'm the Word made known, Word made manifest, the Word among you. Amen. And you say, well, I could say the same thing. I said, amen. You can say the same thing, but the Bible said you profess Him or confess Him with your mouth, but your heart's far from Him. And if you're going to make a confession like I just made, then we're going to see the anointing of God and the power of His salvation with demonstration in your life. The first thing you're going to do is have the authority and the power to come out of the world and be ye a separate people, be you a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Amen. The sons of God are different than the children of this world. They look different. They walk different. They talk different. They dress different. And you say, well, I don't think they have to. Well, I know this one thing. It's whoever you submit your members to or who you are of. And you keep submitting your members to the fashions of this world, the looks of this world, the music of this world, the walk of this world, the luxuries of this world, and everything this world's got to offer, then you are of your father the devil, according to the Word of God and the Bible. Amen, saints? You know, we just got to get real with God. That's all we got to do. It's real simple. It's real simple. A man can have no knowledge of God, know nothing about Him, and he's followed his whole life, and it's been nothing but a disaster. And all of a sudden, he could come in the presence of the anointing of God. He could surrender his heart and his mind, and he could pray to a God, and he could meet Him and fill Him with the Holy Ghost. And that man is as much born again and saved and filled with the joy of the Lord than any doctor of theology ever was. Amen. Because he received something, not a concept of intellect. He received the seed of the Spirit, is what the Bible calls it. The Bible said the seed that remaineth in you is what keepeth you from sin. And when the commandments of God are grievous to you, as an individual told me today, she said, look, nobody's going to shove anything down my throat. And I say, hey, I said, I'd be the last person to do that. Amen. Everybody has a sovereignty. You know, well, when you start telling people how to dress, you're shoving stuff down their throat. And I say, no, you're the one that's living in a stinking cesspool of iniquity. I just have a place that I could help, but you're going to line up with my order here. Amen. Your order's got you where you're at. Amen. Your way's got you where you're at. You see, when a woman accepts authority over a man, she's going to go through the crash and the burn. She might be in the grace on this side, might think it's getting by, but I'm going to tell you something. When the blood comes off the mercy seat, it's another situation altogether. It's a spiritual perversion. Had a man right here in this church who wanted to fist fight with me right out there in the yard. Because he said I called his grandmother a pervert. I said, no, sir, I didn't call your grandmother a pervert. I would never call the man's grandmother a pervert. What I said is a woman minister is a perversion in God. His grandmother was a woman minister. He said, you called her a pervert. No, and I'll say it again. I said, a woman pastor is a perversion in the kingdom. Because he said, he suffered not the woman to sup authority over the man. A pastoral position is a very authoritative position. I could prove that to you and show it to you in the Word. It ain't one of these pretty boys that get up and have his little polished message and flaunt around before people. He's a man of authority. He has the power to bind. He has the power to loose. The power to bless. The power to curse. Amen. The power to give life. The power to remit sin. I could show you that in the Bible. He said, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For what? The remission of sin. So was I commissioned to remit sin? Then if I'm not commissioned to remit sin, then what am I out there doing? We talk about the gifts of God. Healing is one of them. So do I have the ability to heal people? Sure, I do in Jesus' name. Is it you? The gift was given to me. If you give me a gift of $50 and I say, thank you, Brother Terry. Man, I appreciate that. Here, Brother Andy, I'm going to give this to you. Don't I have that right? Amen. God gave me a gift. And by faith, I've received the gift, all by one and the same Spirit. Tongues, interpretations of tongues. Knowledge, wisdom. Come on now. These are the gifts of God, all by one and the same Spirit. Interpretation, I said, of the tongues, of faith, the miracles, healing. These are the gifts that he's given to we, the sons of God, the children of God. Why did he give them to us? For we could share them with people, right? Amen. So we have no business baptizing people if we don't know that we have the authority. And there are many people that get wet, but there was no anointing there. You understand that? When I bind somebody together like this young couple here the other night, I've done it with all the power and the authority of the heavens to bind them together that the devil of hell cannot separate and put asunder. And I've done that by faith. Did they receive it? I hope and trust so. But they had to make that vow to God. What if they don't? That shows that you didn't think. No, because that's not what the Bible says. You see, there's things that you can't bind together. There's things that I cannot bind together. See, I know the word. And you say, God could make the impossible things possible. He could do all things. And I could do all things through Christ. But I know one thing that God can do. He can't lie.
Amen.
Come on now. You say, yeah, that's right. Well, let me tell you something. If God came to you and spoke to you because he can't lie and he said, you know what, brother? I'm going to tell you something about Pastor Rob Coons. He's a Negro. Well, let me tell you, the next time you come to this church and find me, you're going to see a curly-headed dude up here, black skin, and said, because God just spoke that thing into existence because he's the Spirit of Truth.
Amen.
Amen? So when I go to the natural doctor and he says, you're dying, I'm going to go to the spiritual doctor and believe what he said. He said, I got life and life abundantly, and he's given me everything that pertaineth thereto. Now you're speaking of another dimension, but he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and I'll deliver them all, and I'm going to believe my physician, and you're going to see me walk out of the corruption, walk out of the thing. Amen. We believe the word. We are people of the word. Amen.
Amen.
Many things could be said here tonight. You said, have you said anything?
Yes.
Only to ones that have ears to hear.
Amen.
Only to them that have ears to hear. I could come up here and levitate and float, tell you a lot of things, but if you don't have ears to hear, you'll never hear what the Spirit of God has to say unto the church.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said, faith come by hearing the word of God. You say, well, this is what I got to do. I got to come to church. But you know, when Jesus had them in church, he said, though you have ears, you don't hear. See, faith come by hearing the word. So you say, well, I'm here tonight to hear, but are you hearing? Somebody can say, I was in church last night. Another one said he wasn't here. Okay? The one that was not here is really here in the spirit. And the one that was here isn't here because he isn't in the spirit. So how do you judge things? Church attendance isn't what saves your soul. It's being filled with the Holy Ghost that saves your soul. So sometimes we get in the rituals and the motions. We get in the rituals and the motions of things, and we think that people, you know, because of this particular motion or this particular thing, that they're a child of God, that they're born of God, that they're filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, because we look at a ritual. You understand that? But we need to go by the Spirit. Judge it by the Spirit. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Serving a mighty God and a good God. Amen. And he's in the affairs of his people. I know it's a little bit early yet. And do I have any questions tonight pertaining on some of the doctrines? We went and done some teaching here just the other night. You know, I asked you the other night in the midst of some of the teaching if you had questions pertaining thereof. And Brother Dell spoke up and asked a question. He repeated it out here Sunday night. And when we were fellowshipping, he repeated the question again, trying to find the width of a question. The Bible said the heights, the depths, the widths, and the length. The heights, the depths, the widths, and the lengths. And you see, in many questions, we got to find that. And if I ask the average person, again, and I'll say this for thought now. He asked a very good question. Now, you see, with all of our respect and love that we have for Brother William Branham, but in Brother William Branham's teachings, now to what his revelations were and understandings, I could go back to John Wesley before him, as esteemed to be a church age master. I go to Luther. I told you that Luther was a Catholic priest. That makes him a Trinitarian. But then yet he's esteemed as one of the seven church age messengers, right? Okay, so we esteem him, you know, coming from the Apostle Paul, coming down to the church ages, the seven spirits of God, the Bible says. You see, some could say, what do you mean seven spirits of God? I'm just telling what the Bible said, seven spirits of God. Well, if there's seven spirits of God, I mean there's seven gods. The Bible says one God, one faith, one baptism. Well, what are these seven spirits of God? It is a dimensional differentiation of God into the chronological order of man to bring forth a revelation to each generation. So if he's using seven churches and seven church messengers to bring this particular revelation, and you're going to tell me that one of these church age messengers was a Catholic? I'm telling you, the Catholic means the universal church. Catholicism, that's what it is. And I'm going to tell you, there was a beautiful order within Catholicism, but they done as many denominations did. They just started taking it to the power of man and receiving the glory to themselves, and they led the people away from God. So God had to remove himself from that order and go into another one. Seven churches pressing through. The Bible said the light gets brighter as it goes to the end time. So are you saying that Martin Luther, the one that protested against Catholicism and come out and started this Protestant movement, was one of the seven spirits of God in the earth? I say yes. He was Word of God in. What are you today, Brother Rob? Are you thinking you're one of the seven? I'm of the seven. You understand that? And you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I do understand that. The word of knowledge, all but by the same Spirit. The word of wisdom, all but by the same Spirit. You understand? And I'm of that Spirit. I'm of that vine. I'm of that trunk. I'm of that root. And I could show you in the Bible where I could stand before you and say that I am the tree of life. You say, that's Jesus, one bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Now, I could show you that in the Bible now. You say, well, why don't you? Well, that's your job. Maybe you need to get in there and dig a little bit and get out of your elementary doctrines and get in there and dig a little bit and start finding some meat of the word. Amen. Come on, saints of God. You know, everybody wants everything to do something for them. Would you work and make money for me? Would you work and feed me? Would you clothe me? Would you house me? Would you do this and would you do that? Get off your lazy hind end. Amen. You sluggard. Come on. We had this Brother Suggs here for a while. Oh, I got faith. I don't need to work. Well, that's sure a violation of the Bible, ain't it? Faith without works is dead. So you can't tell me you don't work and have faith. Well, I know preacher, man, is full time, God. Full time. He's got faith and he don't work. You show me a preacher don't work, I'll show you one on his way to hell. Amen. I told my wife on the way home, I said, man, sure be easy to be out on a construction job. You know, sometimes, Brother Andy, I get a little lighthearted, offends people. I come into church tonight, Brother Manny's up here praying. I'm thinking, hope he gets a breakthrough for me. I need one bad. Another brother came out and said, I should have been up there on my face, man. That's the truth. But I told my wife today coming home, and I told the brethren when I come here today, I said, you know why I don't have a concealed weapon permit? What are y'all laughing about? I haven't even told you the story yet. They started laughing, man. I'm just telling you why I don't have a concealed carry permit. My wife, get and shoot me. No, I'm no. But I told my wife, I said, you know why I don't have a concealed weapon permit? Because I would have took that thing out today and said, sister, here's a gun. Do me and you both a favor. Shoot yourself and get yourself out of the misery. Shoot me and get me out of mine. I'm being lighthearted, man. It really wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad, I promise. I was just being lighthearted. But honestly, brethren, there's worlds without end. That's Bible. So we're going to go from seven churches and seven messengers to worlds without end? I'd love to. I would love to. You understand that? But you see, people want to get you in their world. They're going to do everything they can to get you in their world. And you know, they're comfortable with their world and they've learned their world. We talked about Abram on Sunday, right? You know, becoming Abraham. See, he had a world, but God pulled him out of his kindred, pulled him out of his world. And he had to take him someplace else. Had to take Paul to the backside of the desert for a time to get him out of his world and to get him out of his mind. You understand what I'm saying? The thing is we could reflect on these worlds to bring a revelation. Jesus reflected on farming to bring a revelation about his kingdom, about the pearl of great price, reflecting on something natural to bring a spiritual revelation. And we do the same thing. So you say seven churches or seven church age messengers, and then we come down to these worlds. Come on now. And then yet, there's got to be a connection in the spirit to draw and to hear and to listen and to take the counsel of the word, for we can go exactly where God wants us. What is the counsel of God for Christian Temple Church? Oh, it's a little nothing, nobody, little church over here, little nothing place called Sophia, North Carolina, little small group of people. You know, not too many miles away, we can go sit in a church with 20-some thousand. You know, it's not that far. Don't take that long to get over there to Olsteen's joint. Seriously, don't take that long to get over there. Because I had a man that was trying to help him and reach him and bring gospel to him. He said, man, I've got a book from Joel Olsteen, man, and I'm reading his book, and I'm going to do it exactly, you know, this way and that way. I said, it ain't worked for him. Why would you read a book from somebody that didn't work for them? Yeah, but he's got 20-some thousand people in his church. Are we looking for people or souls? Are we looking for the elect of God, or are we just looking for numbers? You know, and it's like a lot of times we get, I share the story when we was in the Philippines, and I think it was either 135 or 155 people we baptized at 2 o'clock in the morning in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Cock-a-doodle-doo. But the pastor that I had there to indoctrinate them turned into a scumbag. Selling his daughters for money. Makes him a pimp, don't it? You mean he literally was selling his daughters? When you take your daughters in a nightclub and have them sing for money, you are the biggest pimp and whoremongering pervert that I've ever seen when you're supposed to be a preacher. Come on now. Oh, but somebody's got to go in that nightclub and reach them people. Not when you strip your daughters off and they look like a bunch of filthy perverts and whores. See, Brother Rob, you need a lesson in winning souls. And you're going to tell me such a case like that, but I could finish the story and talk about how his daughters, beautiful little Christian girls, had turned into stinking whores because of a dad that would sell out to the perversion and the love of money and take his little girls and do that. You say, well, Brother Rob, you made a terrible mistake, didn't you? I was reaching for souls, brother, going into another land to win souls. I see complications. I went over there to teach and to preach and open rebuke. Some of you need to see some of the messages that when I wasn't preaching to the 800 or so out here, I turned around and was preaching at the 30 pastors that were on the platform. I turned my back to the people and I said, y'all the ones that need to be preached at. I said, y'all ain't living right. I said, I'm so sick of hearing your testimonies that you're full time. Oh, I'm full time for Jesus. And they put their wife to work. And put their wife to work, and they call themselves a man of God. They put their wife out in the work field and their wives to support them and want to come in my face and tell me they're full time. Them guys are the ones that need to be preached at. That's why we need men that are prepped and prepared and know how to counsel and not sell out. They know how to stand with a doctrine and not move or compromise their doctrine to appease people for they can have a place to preach the gospel. I wasn't real popular probably when I left there. I was in the church that we established there. And I rebuked the preacher face to face and openly about finances. And you know what he did when we took up an offer? He went out and started handing it to the people. Do you remember the same rebuke? Andy, you was with me in Mexico. And we were being robbed and stole from down there by the ministry again. And I said, at least we've done this thing is under the Lord Jesus Christ. And we purchased this stuff for the Lord and the kingdom. I said, why don't you at least tithe some of the spoils from this ministry to the poor people like we set it up for? And the guy fills up a wheelbarrow full of cinder block. Started a little block manufacturing there, had it all set up beautifully to work, but greed got involved. And he goes over and loads up the block, and he goes across the street, and the little guy over there trying to build his house and dumped him a load of blocks. You know how long that lasted for? Until we got out of sight. Amen? Till we got out of sight. You know, oh yeah, we're taking the rebuke, preacher, and we're going to do this. You want to talk about the thousands of dollars we spent going over here to help a guy in North Dakota? And you say, Brother Rob, man, you're talking about the failures of ministry. I'm talking about the failure of ministers. I've done what I was supposed to do. I've reached out in love. I've reached out and suffered the wrong. I was charity, believing all things. And you know, I believe you, brother. You tell me you're called of God. You're telling me you got a call, and let me help you. Let me help you here a little bit. Reaching for him. Reaching for him. Come on now. Y'all seen what happened and took place there. And I told you, we spent thousands of dollars to establish work. And I said, before we left town, I said, it ain't going to work. It's going to fail. Why? Because they had an arrogant little punk preacher in there that their pastor sent him out, and he was nothing more than a novice, and he needed to find a pastor to sit under to get himself fine-tuned that he could go and project himself as a man of God. Because you send a novice out and said they're going to do what? What happens? They're going to fall. Amen? Because of conceit. This is why we need doctrine. Amen? So I was talking about this progression of this brother. He asked me. He says, looking at the width of the situation about the bride. And so then I go all the way over, and I got all the way. Now here we are, 15 minutes later, back to where we was at. So here's this brother Branham, a wonderful man of God. I could tell you the exploits are so awesome and so great. But how many of those healings, of those blinded eyes open, that they got a spiritual eye open? How many of those failed hearts that were healed really found the heart of God? How many of those people that got off the deathbeds and the wheelchairs were converted and translated into the kingdom of God? But everybody knows him for a fleshly work. He discerned thoughts, intents of heart. He was a powerful man of God. Don't think I'm underselling him here. But Jesus said, you'll do greater things. Brother Branham done the same thing. Come on now, listen to me a minute. He done the same thing Jesus did. And the people recognized the works of Jesus, and they came and he bundled them all together, and he pulled the people together, and he was pulling them out of denomination, exactly what God had for him to do. And then we find the Spirit moves after the preparation. You see, the people could have stayed with John the Baptist. They loved him. He was a mighty man of God crying out in the wilderness. And the people loved him. But the Lord said there's a change over here, and he had to be removed. Do you realize that? It was the preparation from God. That thing had to be beheaded. Amen. Come on. That thing had to be totally beheaded. I could go into some revelation with Brother Branham right there if you wanted to. But I'll refrain, because people don't have enough revelation of God to understand that. And they're going to think for a moment that I'm speaking against a powerful man of God. I would never speak against John the Baptist. The law and the prophets were unto John, and the kingdom of God preached. But there was an order in God, and that thing had to be beheaded. Just like Brother Branham's head had to swell up and take his life. And there was a purpose and a reason and a revelation in it. Okay? There's a revelation in it. So then the next message comes. The light comes. Come on now. Can we have the previous message or the former message or the next message without the former? Everything's in order in God. There's all a beautiful order in the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation, brethren. Come on now, please. Just stay with me for a moment. This is where we could really bring in a revelation and an understanding. But what happens is minds spin like tops. You see, the thing is if through the mind of revelation for a present day truth, if I bring out a present day truth, this is why people rejected Brother George so bad, Brother Andy. He loved Brother William Branham. He never spoke against Brother William Branham. And when I seen people that would, he would rebuke them. I've witnessed it and I watched it. But then yet, there was something that had to carry on. So for the thing to carry on, does it make them better than the former? Not necessarily. The former is what set them up to be better. Jesus said, greater things shall you do. Am I better than Jesus? He just said, greater things shall I do. Now, he said that in his Bible. Greater things shall you do. He said, shall you do. I'm one of those yous, so that makes me an I when I'm speaking about it. Greater things shall I do. Can you say that? I told you I opened up a meeting in Arkansas and had a bunch of ministers there. And I said, if any of you brethren that are here tonight have done greater things than the Lord Jesus Christ, stand to your feet. Not one did. And I said, well, I'm standing. You say, you're arrogant, preacher. No, I'm not arrogant at all. I know the Word of God in the Bible. And if he said that in the Bible and don't come to pass, ain't fulfilled, then the Word of God's a lie. And the Bible said the Word of God is not a lie. It said every man is a liar, but the Word of God is true. So if he said, greater things shall you do than what he done, can you receive that? You see, if you can get out of your carnal mind of death for a moment, you could receive that. Because he had to do what he did for you could do what you do. Without his bloodshed, I could do nothing. Without his blood atonement for sin, I could do nothing. But because he shed his blood and gave me the Holy Ghost and the power of life to remit sin, I could do greater things. Because that's why he had to die, for I could remit the sin. And without the remission of sin, there's no life, no salvation. You understand that? And that's why he prepared the fivefold ministry. Okay? It's like those women said, oh, this preacher don't believe in women preachers. He's trying to stop us from winning souls. Man, that brother Rob, he's just, you know, man, he ain't nothing but the devil, man. We can't win souls and stuff like that. Just because you can't be a preacher doesn't mean you can't win souls. Before I was a pastor of a church, I was winning souls. Before I would have even let somebody put the name of an evangelist on me, I was winning souls. I was going into homes praying for people. I was bringing people out of darkness, out of the world, and bringing them to the house of God. Amen. Saying, here, come sit and hear my pastor. And I was bringing people to church. But I wasn't a pastor. My hands weren't tied. I wasn't limited. Well, if I can't be the pastor, I don't want no part of it. If you understood the part of being a pastor, you would really want no part of it. I remember when Brother Pike sent me up here, one of the first jobs I did as I got here. One of the very first jobs. And I go in this house, and it's the son of a pastor. And he's talking to me about burying his dad. Remember that, Sister Irene? His dad, he said, was a good pastor. Counseling, loving, helping people. One day he just had all he could handle. Shot himself. So now I'm counseling his son. I'm thinking, gosh, that's wild. Today that came back to me. And that brother had a revelation, didn't he? Apostle Paul said, I fought the fight. I kept the faith. It's my time to depart. It's my time to go. Amen, he said. Amen. Come on now, saints. But let's go on for a moment. Let's try to go just a little bit farther maybe tonight. So here I'm speaking about we doing greater things than what the Lord did. And people have a problem with that, Brother Andy. It sounds arrogant. And we started out talking about arrogance and overconfidence and haughtiness. But now we go back to the Word. And it said, we'll do greater things. So we come to a revelation of finding out everything that Jesus done was for preparation of the church. And we are the church. We are the light of the world. Light eradicates darkness. So he commissions us. And the thing is that man in the dimension and dispensation of grace. Now, come on now. Stay with me a moment. Man now. We're talking about mankind. Now, there's a chronological dimension of man. We know that. There's a dimension law. In a chronological aspect, there's a time of the law. There's a time of man. And now there is something that runs in the man's thing that progresses even some of the dimensions, okay? Because there's a son of God and a son of man, okay? Then when we say flesh, you say, well, I understand the dimension of flesh. And I say, do you? And the Bible goes on and says that there's beast flesh, right? fish flesh. Isn't that what the Bible says? I could take you over and read it to you in Corinthians. I bring a lot of Bible to you, and some of you just got to get your little intellectual stinking head. Oh, I got to see it myself. Well, I try to teach you, but you're so stinking deaf and blind that you can't get in the Word and learn it. But I'm bringing the Word of God. And it's your obligation. If I'm not bringing the Word, then you need to call me and you need to come to me. You know, you ain't got no Bible for that. The Bible says beast flesh and fish flesh. And then it goes on and it talks about celestial bodies. Come on now, what is it saying? I know exactly what it's saying. Because it's been revealed by the mind of Christ in Revelation. So there's differences of flesh. I'm going to tell you something. A celestial flesh, brethren, is not mortal. And it's not corruptible. The Bible said it's sowed in corruption and raised in incorruption. You see, it sowed in corruption but raised in incorruption. It changed and transfigured. Transfigured flesh, brother, is what Jesus had when they seen him on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then they also seen him when he gave up the ghost and came back forth and walked through the wall. And when they was walking with those disciples and they said, my heart started burning within him and I knew it was him. It wasn't by sight that they knew it was him. It was by the Spirit they knew it was him. There was something that started burning inside. You understand? Because God appeared in another form. Come on now, saints of God. That's why we no longer know him after the flesh. That's why we no longer know him after the Son of Man that walked among men. You see, that was the second dimension, the second heaven. God projected himself, Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Father, Word, in flesh, and the Holy Ghost. Well, what part was crucified? Was the Word crucified or the flesh crucified? The Word is Spirit. And when the flesh was crucified, the Spirit departed. He said he gave up the ghost. The ghost was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Father was the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, wait a minute, Brother Rob. See, I got you now. Whoa, boy, man, I got you now. Because the Bible says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. But it also says that these three are one. And you got no sense to oppose the man of God. Come on now, saints. I'm going to be as merciful as I can, even though the Bible said, woe on him who holds the sword back from blood. You see the situation I'm going with a man of God or a minister. And I got the sword in the sheath. You know what? And silent as could be. And I just rejoice in the Lord. Got perfect peace. Amen. So perfect of a peace, so thrilled in my spirit. And why people think they're superior. People think that I don't have discernment and I lack. And I say, you know what? This is what we do. They mock Jesus the same way. Hey, if you're who you say you are up there, why don't you bring yourself off that cross? Come on, physician, heal thyself. And he said, go ahead. Just go ahead and keep on driving the nails in. Go ahead. Say it isn't me. Brethren, I believe in the present day truth of revelation. And when you're following the Lord and the Spirit of God, he's going to take you to be spit upon. He's going to take you to be mocked. And you're just going to smile and say, it's all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. And when a man goes into retaliation, he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. You understand that? You see, you say, oh, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Nah, we're not in that doctrine. We go the extra mile. When they want to take you for your cloak, you go the extra mile with them and give them too. Amen. You see, we're the sons of God. And there is a reason and a purpose. Amen. And God will send a son of God for thousands of miles and hundreds of thousands of dollars to reach a soul for the kingdom of God. Amen. As I found a man rebuking me because I put a Trinitarian preacher behind my sacred desk. But you know what? I didn't need to put him up here to teach nobody nothing. I didn't need to put him up here because we needed to draw from his wisdom. He had none. I put him up here because I was reaching for his soul. And I couldn't, unless I entered into his world. If I did not enter into his world, you see, there's so many things that we got to find out why the Lord, and when we question him, is the first mistake we make. the very first mistake we make when we question God. We got to learn to follow the leading of the Lord. Now let's go back just for a moment. So we're going to talk about seven churches. We're going to talk about the seven spirits of God. You can read in the book of Revelation. The seven churches. Now we use terms like seven church age messengers. We're accurate. We got to be careful using those terminologies. See, in our circles, we could use that terminology with the revelation and understanding. But you see, in the church circles out there, they can't. Or if they use it, they'll say, oh, this is wrong. Now see, me and Andy could be driving in a truck. Andy's indoctrinated and knows the Word of God. And I could say, well, you know, Brother Andy, the problem is that the people of this world don't realize that you're a God. Now see, that's offensive talk. That right there will get you removed from about any church in the United States of America. Come on now, is that the truth, brethren? Well, you can't teach that, Brother Rob. I surely can, because that's what Jesus said when they were one to take up stones. They were one to take up stones to stone him, and he asked him a question. But he said, but isn't it also written it's your gods? That's what Jesus said to him. He said, isn't it written it's your gods? But he said, you die like a man for one reason. Psalms 84. You die like a man for one reason. You die like a man for one reason, because you don't have the knowledge of that. Now the Bible says, just to help you in your mind, for you could get out of your puffed up mind, I can get you into a spiritual mind. You see, the Bible said knowledge puffeth up. So something that's puffed up is haughty and arrogant and crashes. And that's what the Bible said knowledge does. So why did he give us a gift of knowledge in the Word? Did he want to puff you up before he could put you in hell? Does he just like puffed up popcorn? I heard a preacher one time preaching a message, and he said, you're like popcorn. You're puffed up, swelled up, and buttered up. I like that message. Amen? So if God gave me a word of knowledge, now remember that. If you go into the Scriptures, it's a word of knowledge by one and the same Spirit. But then yet there's another knowledgeable climbing up another way. Now we talked about this in the last few services. So I got to differentiate between these things, right? Is that correct? The Bible said they confess with their mouth. What are they confessing? Knowledge. Oh, you're the Son of God. You're the Son of God. I praise you, Lord God. You're my Lord. You're my God. You're my King. You're my salvation. You're my everything. You are the way, the truth, the life. You're the door. Hallelujah. And he says, hey, you confess me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. So what is the end of the matter? It's death. So here we differentiate knowledge. I heard a message, Brother Pike. He said, there's only one knowledge, brethren. I say, yea and amen. There's only one knowledge. Well, you're saying you're differentiating. Exactly is what I'm saying. We're differentiating knowledge. Now, the word knowledge, I could use the term, I could dissect knowledge. I used to use the term dissecting God. Brother Jonathan corrected me on that. He said, I heard Brother George says, because see, the word dissect, I was thinking in the minds, we're going to take this thing, and when you dissect a frog, you're taking him apart. You know, look at the little slimy green thing with the little warts on it. You slit him and you open him and go, ooh, red meat. And then you cut into that and go, ooh, guts. Ooh, look at the little skeleton structure. You dissected it, you tore it apart. Now you know what the frog looks like from the inside. So I used to use the term dissect, thinking about dissecting to understand the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And Brother John said, I heard Brother George say that things that are dissected are things that are dead and God's not dead. And I go, wow. So I made an alteration and a correction. I appreciate that. You understand that? But see, so then I start using the word differentiation in that. We're going to differentiate the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So we start differentiating the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. You see, now let me ask you this. Let's talk about the Bible said the Father Spirit, invisible. Could anybody remove the holy part from that? Absolutely not, because God is holy. That's the Bible. So if I say Holy Spirit, what am I saying? God. The Bible said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So your theologians will tell you this. I've read their books. Some of their books, most of them I don't get too far with them when I start seeing their biblical vomit, you know. And biblical means they're taking things out of context. When I say biblical, the vomit, I'm saying because the Bible said it's vomit on God's tables. What are you talking about? It's talking about exactly what we're talking about now. It's the Church of America is the vomit on the tables of God. They've climbed up another way through theology, through their biblical colleges, and they're all polished up, climbing up another way. So, as I say, these doctors of theology say there's no difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Can I say, is that true? I say, yeah, that's true when you look at it by the Word of God. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are all one and the same. But what is the difference then if we differentiate, if we pull it apart? If we pull it apart, the Spirit of the Father is invisible that no man has seen, nor know, nor comprehend. They made images of fishes, made images of beasts and towers and to worship God. But until the real image of God came and manifested itself and walked among men to bring forth the express image of God through the fleshly instrumentality of a man. But the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Bible says this, and I'll say it again, that the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus Christ shall dwell in Brother Bob's mortal body. Brother Rob's mortal body. It said the same Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ shall dwell in your mortal body. Okay, so now, if the Word of God is accurate and the Word of God is correct, the same Spirit that was in Jesus is going to be in me. So that means that we know that the Father was in Jesus. The Spirit of the Father. Is that correct? Because Jesus, when he was here, he said, I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. And he went on to say that I'm in you and you in me. Can you separate that? Absolutely impossible. Now, so when Jesus said that the Father's within him and he came in his Father's name. But let's go on just for a second here. So then when Jesus was here, and it's recorded in the scriptures that when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What was that? What was crying out there? Now we're differentiating between the Spirit of God, the Spirit of man, and the Spirit of the devil. So the thing is when the Spirit of God pulled out of this body, the Spirit of man cried out because he came to receive the full-blown curse of death and destruction and hell and sin. And he felt, that man felt the full weight of that thing in him, and he screamed out to God and they gave up the ghost. Come on now. That was a fine thing of separation as that Spirit of God was pulling away and that man started feeling the weight. And he said, I suffered not the Holy One to see corruption. And the Spirit that left it, the Holy Ghost, see, it was the Holy Spirit went in the Father, but it came and personified in the Son. And when it departed, it was the one in exact and the same Spirit by the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one. It was the very same Spirit that departed. But because it had been personified within the man, now it was recognized the attributes of the invisible God that no man knew or seen. Because those attributes were then recognized and seen, that's why it was the ghost. So we say now the Spirit that moves, it's the ghost of the Father, the Son. And we're differentiating again. Where's it at now? It's in the many-membered body. Where's the many-membered body at? It's the mortal flesh. And where's that at? It's in the earth. Where's God? He is. He is. You see, and these dried up philosophers and these dried up Pentecostals and these dried up men seeking after understanding of revelation through theology, they don't see how the Spirit of God is today. And they go and they preach their mighty messages. Oh, dearly beloved, we're waiting for the returning of our Lord. Boy, Jesus is coming back, praise God, hallelujah. You see, I heard Brother George say that and he was accurate. But he didn't stop there, brethren. He was reaching for those people in that doctrine. And he had to reach them by in their doctrine. But he came forth with the beloved. Now we are the sons of God. Amen. He didn't stop looking for the coming of the Lord. He brought forth the coming of the Lord. Amen. Do you understand that? And this is what happens, brethren, is people will get an absolute biblical truth over here and they stop. And they are absolutely dwarfed because they don't know who they are. They're dwarfed. They don't really know. Brother George stand before his brethren and we look at the condition and the places and where they're at now. But he said, brethren, do you really believe your gods? He had probably 30, 40 men sitting in front. Do you really believe, brethren, that you're gods? Oh, yeah, Brother George. He said, come on, brethren, you know better than that. He was discerning their spirit. Come on, brethren, you know better than that. Did we climb up through some intellectual concepts of a doctrine? Oh, praise God, I'm a son of God. Or did we come up by revelation and absolutely know that we know who we are with stability and faith and established in revelation and the mind of the Word? The intellectual mind is the carnal mind, and it's death. And so many men that sat under Brother Pike, they rambled in their intellect, and they spoke about things that he said that they didn't understand in themselves. But because they spoke the same thing they said, they thought because he said it that you know it because you repeated it. But it wasn't a revelation. The seven sons of Sceva done the same thing. They heard the Apostle Paul say, I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. And the man was delivered and set free. So they see this act. And boy, they come up the same way. Could you see him, boy? Huh? Can you see him strutting, man? Hey. And they see this action of the devil. And they come up, I adjure you, Satan. I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And the old devil looks at him, smiles back. Yeah, hey, I know who Paul is. With a smile on his face. Yeah, I know who Jesus is. But who are you? You little measly mouth, little pervert punk. And the devil overpowered all seven of them and whooped their hind end. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Man, praise God. Are you praising God for the devil whooping somebody? That's exactly what they needed to do for they could find the real, for they could find God. On the day of infirmities, a man could find salvation. You understand now? Ye that suffer in the flesh could find Jesus Christ and cease from your sin. That's why I'm praising God, because them puffed up intellectual Bible thumpers thinking that they knew something didn't have the spirit of truth, nor did they have the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they were polished and walking and quoting the word with no word. Amen. And that's why I rejoice in the Lord, because that's exactly what's going to happen with arrogance and haughtiness. It says it's before the corruption and it's before the fall and it's before the crash. Amen. So I'm a pastor and I look and I see suffering. And someone... compassion. Now listen to me, for all you Bible scholars. Compassion is one of the biggest enemies of the devil that there is. Compassion is what's made America, the great country of the nation of America, crash and fall. Because of compassion for the faggots. Compassion for the transvestites. Compassion for the women overthrowing the government. When they needed no compassion, they needed to take their biblical strength and stance that came by the doctrine of the Holy Ghost to them and said, this is what we are. We the people, amen, believe in the Word of God. And we're going to make a stand against the powers of darkness and we're not going to compromise for them. Let's give the Lord a hand, amen. You understand that? Compassion. He said, preacher, you need corrected. The Bible said not to close up your bowels of compassion. You see, I'm a preacher that understands the word. And I differentiated knowledge for you, didn't I? Did I just differentiate knowledge? And I said, the Bible said that knowledge puffeth up. And I differentiated that knowledge. Why a man sits in his knowledge. And I think you're going to burn in hell because you're puffed up in your mind. And I say, the knowledge of God catches you up. The knowledge of man puffeth you up. The knowledge of the Bible puffeth you up. But the knowledge of the Spirit catcheth you up. Well, I differentiated it, didn't I? Is that what I done? So it's the same thing that I'm speaking of. the very same thing. You say compassion, and I say human compassion. Now we're differentiating again. Your human compassion will put you in hell. I had a brother right here, and I'll just leave it at that, but he had human compassion for the little whore that was 15 years old, that was living in the streets. I'll take her in. No, the Bible said silly women laden with lust will subvert whole households, and they'll destroy a home and destroy a marriage. And the preacher says, absolutely not. Oh, but I got compassion. I got the bowels of compassion. I'm a minister. I'm a son of God. And I say it's going to put you in hell. Amen. And then they're in destruction and fall. And I'm reaching for souls. I got the same devils in my presence that are doing the same things. And Brother Rob's reaching and reaching and reaching and pouring my heart out. And they lightly esteem God's word. And I see destruction in their path and suffering in their path. And you say, God, give them ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church. Amen. So I differentiate compassion. And the human compassion puts more people in hell. But the bowels of compassion say, exile that man. The bowels of compassion says, put him out. The bowels of compassion say, the evil communications corrupt good manners. The bowels of compassion. You see, it's a totally different operation. The bowels of compassion cuts the head off the serpent. The human compassion says, it's my pet. I like this devil. Come on now. Brother John Whitlow, have you ever petted a devil? Yes, he has. I like this spirit. You know, bless God. Confronted me as a pastor. I can't follow you, Brother Rob. You ain't like Brother George. And I said, no, I'm not. I took my wallet out. And I said, here, John, here's my wallet. I said, you want this? No, brother, what are you trying to say? And I said, no, I'm not like Brother George. He didn't carry a wallet, I carry a wallet. But let me tell you something, brother. He'll remember this. This is a conversation of about 18 years ago. And I said, Brother John, no, I'm not Brother George Pike. But I've had enough Holy Ghost and God to keep my marriage. I've had enough Holy Ghost and God to keep me out of the bars and off of alcohol. But I said, you haven't. He lost his marriage, okay, because of his foolishness and overconfidence with his Bible knowledge, quoting the Bible to people while he's smoking dope with them and drinking beer with them. You know, in a cesspool of iniquity, wanting to talk about revelation. That's why he fell on his hind end and got his marriage all busted up. You know, thank God that for the brother. I love Brother John. I appreciate Brother Terry. You know, you say, you do? And I said, yeah, because they got some sort of repentance that they'll take the rebukes and they'll come back like a man and say, you know what? I need help, preacher. I fell on my face. Man, I've defiled my family and I've defiled, but you know, I'll receive the rebuke. I'll receive those things. Just pray for me and help me. Amen. Brother John, I told him, I said, brother, I said, I got enough of this to keep me off the dope. He was on dope. I got enough to keep me off alcohol. He was on the alcohol. But want to talk about Jesus. Let me tell you, when you ain't living clean and you ain't living right and you are, and you're sucking on the alcohol and you're sucking on the tobacco and you're sucking on the pot and you're sucking, you got no say so in any matter because the devil has filled your soul and you don't have no platform to speak or to talk at all. You need to get set free and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, and then God could cleanse your vessel for a mouthpiece and an oracle of heaven. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. There's an order in God, and a man must first repent. Come on, saints. Thank you, Brother John, for sitting under the counsel and the rebuke and the chastening of the Lord. The Bible said the man of God's thoroughly equipped to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort with all longsuffering. And you say, I don't see the longsuffering. Let me tell you, I suffered many years with Brother John. But he's my little brother and my friend, and I love him. And I see God really cultivating and getting him in a place now more so than he's ever been that he could really be utilized for the Lord. Say, Brother Rob, you're going to get him puffed up, man, and he's going to go fall. Well, I'll pick him up. Amen. I'll help him up. Amen. You see, I teach on iniquities in this church. How many have heard of them? Brother Jonathan, there's Lambert iniquities in his household. What was your mom's maiden name? Pope, that's right. And there's Pope iniquities in there too. I knew he thought he was the Pope. No. I know what a coon's iniquity is, brethren. I know what it is. I had to fight that thing and deal with that thing. Still do. That sucker's a jerk, John. You see, I've got to destroy that. And I follow these iniquities in families. Brother Andy is as clean and straight as a man as we got in this church. He loves the Lord. He's doing everything he can. There was an iniquity in his family. He had a real problem to say, I love you. Is that right, Andy? But you know what? His daddy loved him and his mother loved him. And he loved them. I raised up in that kind of house. I told you, I never heard my daddy say, I love you to me. Until I was at a minister's meeting in Stockton, California. Me and Irene was already together and stuff. And he goes, come on, son, why don't you go to church with me? And I went. I never heard him say that in my whole life. It tore me slap up. Did your dad love you? I believe he did. You know, I don't question that. Andy don't have that problem now. You love Brother Rob, Andy? It's hard, brother. You're my father-in-law. Do I have to answer as a brother in the church and you're my pastor as a son-in-law? And just leave it there, brother. Amen. I'm a hard guy to love. I think Jesus was too. And you say, oh, no, that's not true. He wasn't hard to love. He said, Brother Rob, you know, he was going around doing good to them and helping them. Then why did they want to take up stones everywhere he went and stone him to death if he wasn't hard to love? Huh? Oh, the Apostle Paul, man, there's your foundation of the early church. Everybody loved him. He was beat or stoned 5 times and left for dead. I don't remember how many times he was whipped. I could stand correct on it, but I know it was numerous times he was stoned and numerous times he was beaten. 39 stripes, numerous times, left out at sea for days. Oh yeah, he was loved by everybody. Huh? Jesus tried to tell him, he said, look, they hated me, they're going to hate you also. And we get offended because somebody, he said, my pew. You had it right, it's your pew. And it's, your pew is a stench. Huh? I ain't never calling it a pew again. Come on, brethren. You know, we got to find out and get a revelation. We got to come into and get a revelation. You understand that? Because people will sit with their shallow biblical depth and sit and judge you in some kind of a matter of superiority and seniority and some superior spiritual revelation that they think they got. And they absolutely don't know how to differentiate the heights, widths, and lengths, and the depths, and the breadth of the matter. They couldn't differentiate the first, second, and third heaven. They couldn't define the difference between the body, soul, and the spirit. Because the theologians will tell you that you could interchange soul and spirit, and they're interchangeable. Well, see, I could say that the Father and the Word are interchangeable in one breath, but then yet they're not because there's two different dimensions there. The Word of God said that you could blaspheme against the Son of Man, but if you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it'll put you into hell. And you cannot find forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Now, why could that be when they're one and the same? Because there's a dimensional differentiation. One came in the image of sin. You say, oh, no, it didn't. Okay, well, let's go to the allegories for you theologians, okay? So we show the healing for the nations in the Old Testament is a typical of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Right. Now, what did they hold up on the pole?
Serpent.
A brazen serpent. And they put a brazen serpent up on the pole for the healing of the nations. Is that true or false? Okay, what was that typical of? Of who? Oh, come on. We would never use a serpent to typify the Son of Man walking in the earth, would we? But then yet we read in our Bible, and it said that he came in the image of the sin nature. The image of it. Oh, but he was the image of God. See, you don't know how to differentiate. You just think you know something when you don't know what you ought to know. Because when he resurrected, the ones that was with him every day didn't recognize him, did they? Amen? When that long-haired preacher came over and showed up and been listening to us on the radio. Oh, man, brother, I've been wanting to come here so long. I said, you need a haircut. If he wouldn't have told me he was a preacher, I wouldn't have cared, because he just needed salvation. But he said he was a pastor or a preacher. I said, what do you think about the Bible saying it's a shame for a man to have long? Oh, Lord told me to do that. That's where, when you go to the Word of God for your strength and you're an heir, that's when you run into a real jerk here. Seriously, I'm sorry. You know, I'm called in defense of the Word, so don't come puking the Word on me, man. I'm going to defend the Word of God every single time. Well, you should have been merciful and loved him, Brother Rob. I was. Because I'm called to remit sin. I'm called to separate people from the clutches of darkness. So again, tonight, we've started a very slight, just barely scratched the surface of talking about differentiating some things. You say, well, you know, I don't know, you know, Brother Rob. You're differentiating the Godhead of the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible said plain enough, simple enough, these three are one. Then why can't I, if I blaspheme against one, it could be forgiven of me, and I blaspheme against another, it can't. Because I understand the mind of revelation and differentiation. And I understand the difference. You see, this is why, brethren, that we got to get into the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ. Because what happens is we get every wind of doctrine that'll separate us and pull us apart. And that's why we got to be careful what we're eating from. This is why we're in one of the most critical and dangerous hours of time ever. And we look at some of the events in the Bible of God bringing destruction to many people. One, we can go to Sodom and Gomorrah, correct? Another one, we can go to the flood, correct? The Bible said in the end time it would be just like it was then. Is that correct? Just like it was in Noah's time, correct? That's the Bible, right? Okay, so right now, because of the multimedia, because of television, because of social media, because of internet, because of Google, it's bringing the people into one and more mind. When the Bible said the Antichrist, the whole world will follow after him. Now, where is this Antichrist spirit getting the whole world? I mean, they're giving cell phones out in Africa to people who don't even got electricity. And they're giving them chargers to charge them with the solar. And they're giving them computers for they can get to the vomit coming out of the college system of United States of America. Let me tell you something. When Romania was under socialism and under the bondage of a socialist people, there was a strong church there. Underground church. Those people, the pastor had been beaten and put to death. The pastor had been whipped. The pastors had been jailed. They had business with the Lord. And then the Iron Curtain comes down and opens up the doors, and we send our little pretty boy, Benny Hinn, over there. And they're going to blow on you. Blow on you. And they've destroyed the church of Romania, because Romania said, hey, America, we want to be like America. When we was in Romania walking the streets, I'm telling you, it was the most disgusting perversions ever. Filthy, provocative, because the same thing happened to the black man in America when they got their freedom and they got their finance and they got their power. And they got their cars. And they got their homes. They got haughty just like the wretched white man. They got arrogant. Oh, I'm somebody special now. Now they're the president of the country. And they walk with a newness of walk. And they're lost on their way to hell. You understand that? And they'd be better off being beaten slavery, because then they had God. You see, you'll never understand that, because you're in an intellectual carnal mind. And you savor the things of the flesh. And this is why the prosperity message is so great in America. Oh, if you're serving God, you're going to prosper. You're going to be blessed. Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. And he was the message of prosperity. He wanted us to prosper in our spirit. Amen? Saints, come on, man. We got to get some doctrine in us. We got to get some word in us. Or we're going to perish and die. Your knowledge is not the key to the kingdom. Your knowledge. I know I just said this. Now listen. When Jesus spoke to him and he said, but isn't it also written that you are gods? And then when you go read where he was referring to in the Old Testament, it said that you are gods, but you die like men because of a lack of knowledge. So Brother Rob, you need to bring knowledge to us. And I am. And I keep differentiating the knowledge, Because at the same time Brother Pike was bringing a knowledge of the revelation of Jesus Christ, people were eating it in the wrong dimension, taking it to themselves, to their mind, to their superior wisdom, to their understanding. And out of a place called Little Bethlehem, under the greatest tutor and doctrine and message there ever was, there was a whole army of lifted up, puffed up, self-righteous, overconfident men that walked out of there. And what happens to that mind? What happens to them? It goes to destruction. So we look back, and what do we see? Destruction, corruption, and failure. You see, we don't ever receive the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and take it to ourselves and stand before people. Look at me. Man, I'm the one. You say, brother, I've been hearing you preach tonight. And everything I've been preaching is he's the one. And he's the truth. He's the way. Well, where's he at? He's in you and in I, if you know who you are. You see, I know that when a man comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ and knows who he is in him, you know how I know that he knows who he is? Because he knows who I am. You say, that's arrogance, Brother Rob. No, it isn't. See, Brother Randy could say the exact same statement. Brother Randy could say, you know what? Brother Rob, I'm trying to really press into this and learn it and understand it. But one thing I found out, when they know who I am, they're settled and they know who they are. You remember the message? I said, you don't know who you... This is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, you don't know who you are because you don't know who they are. And if I don't think that God could save Brother Terry, then God can't save me. If I don't think God could save Brother Johnny, God can't save me. If God can't reach down to the uttermost to get Brother Jeffrey Chapman, then how in the world could he reach down to the uttermost and grab me out of the pit? And when we start looking at people in some self-righteous demeanor, in some self-righteous way, like we're better than them or smarter than them, you have absolutely failed the Bible. The Bible said you esteem your brother greater than yourself. People are always seeking finances. And God will just keep it right out of their reach. Oh, he'll support them. He won't let them starve. And some, they'll be blessed, some, this, this, and this, right? But at the same time, when they come to the revelation to seek after another man's finances, all their financial needs are met then. Why is that hard for a man to understand that? I told a little individual today, needing help, financial help. And I said, listen, your money ain't none of my business. Your finances ain't none of my business. That's your money. It's your finances. But when you come to use my money, then I'm all in your business now. Amen. If you don't want me in your financial business, don't ask me for my money. Right. If you have your own home, you do what you want in your home. That's your home. You want to grow your hair long in your home? Go for it. Get a beard or two and pierce your nose. Put piercings anywhere you want them. I don't care. That's your home. That's your little kingdom. If you want to run around your house naked, go for it. Don't take pictures. Come on, that's your little kingdom. You want alcohol in your little kingdom? Go for it. Man, get some of that 100-proof stuff. Might get you out of your torment. Suck it down. A couple Xanax with it. Have a good time. That's your home. Man, do what you want to do. It ain't none of my business. But when you lose your home because your business doesn't know how to keep a home and God blows on it and you want my home, then now you're in my business and my home and my rules. Amen. Well, I'm a man, bless God. I don't care what you is. You in my home. You understand that what I'm saying? You in this church. I like what the president of Taiwan said when they were going to take this boy that stole a stereo out of a car while he was visiting Taiwan. And they were going to cane him with bamboo, or they did. They were going to bamboo him. They called it caning him. They take him shirt off, they strap him down on a thing, and they beat him with a bamboo stick. Praise God. We need some of that stuff in America. Huh? You say, boy, you're brutal, ain't you, Brother Rob? Well, I tell you what, our prisons are overpacked. Some of them start getting caned and bambooed a little bit. They might quit going back. They like it in there. They got their little boyfriend in there. They got three meal squares coming a day. Yeah. Hey, this is 2016, man. They're just a trans queer, whatever you want to call them. You know, they just transformed themselves over to a queer over there in the prison. And now they're letting them preach. Well, it's, we're 2016. Sorry, brethren. That's what they do now. You know, we're in this big, vast, revelational change, and everybody's got the Spirit of God, and God loves everybody. What the biggest lie from hell ever was. If God loves everybody, I'm going to quit preaching the gospel, because that makes His Word of God a lie. When He hated Esau, and he was in the womb of his mother, He said, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." And then He goes on and is expressing Himself in Proverbs, and said that He hates the woman with the mincing feet and them that are swift of shed blood and the haughty eyes and the ones that sow discord among the brethren. He said He hates that more than all of them. Come on now. I'm just telling you, He said the seven things He hates. So those are people, brethren. You know, the mincing feet was on a people. Huh? So it's like the whore that was here that day. And said, "I don't care what you say, preacher, Jesus loves me just the way I am." I said, "Who's been lying to you? He died on the cross. He hated your image so much. He took the image of sin to the cross and died for you. You filthy whore." I didn't say that to her, but that's what she was. "You talk too plain, preacher. You do it your way in your church. I'll do it my way." Because see, the whole theme of 2016 is the layout of the CN Day message. And you know what? I got my rights. I got my right to live the way I want to live. I got my rights to dress the way I want to dress, and ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. I got my rights to do this. That's the interpretation of Laodicea. And this is how, in closing thoughts, the Antichrist has got the whole world to follow him. You got your rights. God loves you just the way you are. And, you know, you could this, you know, and it's like this individual that has been broken and beat and ravished and put out of her home. She said, "I just can't have somebody tell me what to do." And I said, "Well, it looks like you've been doing what you've been telling yourself to do, and it ain't working. You're the one that's in a motel full of nothing but whores and prostitutes and perverts and dope addicts and pimps that I was scared over there. I'm one macho he-man." But now listen, how come they can't see? It's just like John. He said, "Brother Rob, I can't follow you. You're not like Brother George." "Well, no, I'm not. But let me tell you something. I could help you get off the alcohol. I could help you get off the drugs. I could help you, brother, get your marriage restored. We've done many marriage reconciliations of people that some of you don't even know and you'll never meet." But you see, because of his polished, overconfident, intellectual, religious revelations sent under a great man of God, it was the very thing that he was there to receive life that he received the curse of it and death. And his home was being broken, his marriage being broken, everything was being busted up and rattled around and shaken apart and in a total wilderness. But see, God prepared all that to happen for he could do one thing, and that's repent and transform his mind into the real mind of Christ and walk with the Lord in submission and subjection. Amen. To the kingdom of God and the order of God in the earth. Amen. Well, you think, preacher, that they got to sit under you to be true and to follow God? I hope not, because I'm having troubles handling you. I don't need any more like you. Amen. No, come on. I love y'all. We've got a great brotherhood, wonderful people here in this church. My wife and I was talking to this, and God has richly blessed us. You say, "You got a little handful?" Well, let me tell you something. I want a handful of people standing before the Lord, praising Him with me. And if it's a handful, if it's five, if it's six, if it's 10, I'm going to rejoice in that as having 30,000 that I lied to. And they're going to be chewing on me in hell because I didn't have enough backbone to preach the word of God to them. Because I wanted to be their friend more than I wanted to be a helper to them. You understand what I'm saying? I would rather you leave many services mad at me as leave services thinking, "Man, I love that preacher. and go to hell. It's easy to tell people what they want to hear. Real easy. I tell you, man, I promise you that it's so simple to tell people what they want to hear. Somebody said, man, you know, man, this is what God's called me to do and this is what he wants me to do. Oh, man, praise God, brother. I feel the Spirit. Man, go for it, Balaam. Brother. Come on now. I watched men press Brother George. I watched a man come to Brother George and say, man, Brother George, that's how he tells him all about this. And Brother George didn't put a blessing on it. He said, well, brother, you know, man, that's really, you know, and tried to give him some word. The guy came back. Again, man, all of us and us, he wasn't listening. Brother George wanted to say, no, you can't do that. But he came back again, and boy, thus us and us. And I heard Brother George, as clear as I'm talking, say, go on, Balaam. It's in your heart. This is what you're going to do. The day that he sent me up here to start a church, there was another man there that was running after his own household, his own ministry, and his own thing. And Brother George opened up a door. And this guy jumped through it with leaps and bounds. And he was so convinced that Brother George sent him. And I was too. I've sat there and watched it. And then I got rebuked by my pastor. He said, brother, you were there. I said, yeah, I was. And he goes, okay, let's go through this thing again. And this is what happened. And he laid it down line upon line. I said, that's exactly what happened. He went back, Brother Andy, line upon line, precept upon precept of our conversation, of exactly what he told me and exactly what I said and exactly what I did. I fell into a wall. And I watched this other thing in astonishment and amazement. But I was still kind of stunned still. I think that's why I probably didn't see it the way I should have by spirit, because I just got slapped. All my fears had just come upon me. You know, if you go to the doctor and you're thinking, man, I don't want to hear nothing bad. And the doctor comes back in and he's got his chart, pulls down. Mr. Coons, I don't know how to say this to you. You're dying. You're eat up, man. It's in your blood. It's in your bones. It's in your brain. It's in your stomach. It's everywhere. You're eat up, dude, with cancer. You're dying. You know, that could devastate a man, can't it? Amen. Come on now. Well, that's what happened to me. Yeah. I'm telling you the truth. But I sit there and watched it. And this other man, I could go, it's in my mind now after the second time that he told me, and I've seen it the first time, but after he told me, it's in my spirit now, it's in my mind. I see it clearly, I see it perfectly, and I know exactly what happened. And the man departed, and he left to start a work of God. And the whole church, hundreds of people, were all convinced that the man of God sent him out to pastor a church. That he moved from the campground a previous year, not more than two before that, for immorality. And then sent him out to be a pastor. And I was like, okay, I'm having troubles with this. Well, maybe that's what he done with you, Brother Rob. And I said, there's a lot that believe that. And they started rumors and spreading that. And he got behind the sacred desk and rebuked him. He said, what kind of preacher would I be if I sent a man that was a problem to me up there to be a problem to other people? He said, God burned my fields for that. Well, you said he just sent the other one out. Did I say that, Andy? I didn't say that, did I? I said that the other man went and everybody thought he sent him. But the man was so infatuated in himself, in his revelations, in his will, and in his own mind. And the pastor said, hey, I'm thinking about doing a work over here in such and such town. Man, praise God, preacher. You know, I've been praying about that. Well, that's good, brother. And he said, you know, I'll get my wife on the phone and calling up there right today. Well, that'll be okay. And he said, matter of fact, I'll just go up there this weekend. He said, that's all right. And he left. And then the preacher told me, he said, I want you to go get that motor home. I want you to get that thing ready. I said, I want to make sure everything works, Brother Rom. I want everything. I want you to go and make sure that everything's working. And I want you personally to drive it out there to Good Hope. I want you to take it up there, and I want you to bring him out there, and I want you to show him how to turn on the refrigerators, how to light them, how to light the heaters, how to do everything. He goes, I want to make sure thoroughly understands that. And I could tell you right now why he asked me to do that, because he went and explained to me why he was doing that, that most people don't know. You say, well, Brother Rob, why are you slandering this brother? I'm not slandering a brother. I'm talking about the spirit of the Antichrist that the brother gave place to. And the Bible said the whole world will follow after the Antichrist. And this was a man that was sitting under the most powerful and greatest man of God that I've ever met that was following after the Antichrist. And he let him lead him and he followed him off, thinking that he was doing God a service. The Bible said they'll put you to death in the last day. They will kill you and they will put you to death in the last day, thinking that they're doing God a service. I know it's late. See, I came up here 15 minutes after 7 because I knew where my spirit was at. So we're going to close. Did you reach the mark? Absolutely not. But let's stand. Did you bring forth what the Lord wanted you to? With all my heart, with all my heart, I pray and plead for the lost, plead for souls. But the one thing I can't do, Brother John, I can work miracles. And I could lay hands and they could receive eyes to see and ears to hear by the miraculous power of God. If you go into the Bible, Brother Ed, it said that the apostles laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. But the thing is we've created a counterfeit Holy Ghost. Satan has. He has created a counterfeit in the move of America. He's created a false Holy Ghost. Because the Bible said he'll deceive the entire world. It'll go after him. But there's going to be a little flock, the Bible says, a remnant, a small flock, and few be there that find it. And he goes on to say, the righteous scarcely make it. The righteous scarcely make it. The righteous scarcely make it. He said, if this is what I do to my only begotten son on the cross, and he beat him beyond recognition and crucified him, and every drop of blood came out of his body, he said, if this is what I do to my only begotten son, how much more so to the ungodly and the sinner and the wicked? How much more so? You know, saints, come on. Brethren, the Bible said that the wisdom or the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the problem is people don't have the fear of God anymore because they have so much love for themselves, and they make a doctrine and they created another God that they're not afraid of, John. They've created this God that just walks around and we pluck his beard and spit in his face and mock him. And he just loves us the way we are anyway. And he's going to bring us in despite of ourselves. That's the way people think in America, brother. But where is the Bible for that kind of doctrine, Brother Edward? It's not there. It's not there. The Bible said we got to press. We got to fight. We're good soldiers for Christ, Brother Ed. We keep ourselves untainted from the affairs of the world. That's what a good soldier does. He's not spotted with the things of this world. The Bible said we get spots and blemishes in the Feast of Charity, Brother John. We're accustomed to that. But they're not going to make it into the kingdom. It's very evident when a man makes it into the kingdom of God. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to share a secret with some. It's not a secret to most of us, eh? But if you are eternal and you're going to live forever with the Lord, you already are.
Amen.
You're already in the kingdom. Right. You're already walking in the kingdom. You're already fellowshipping in the kingdom. You already know who you are. You've already passed from death unto life. Come on. You know who you are and you walk with an authority on serpents and scorpions, but not with an arrogancy to mankind. It's two different things altogether. Amen? All right, let's sing a song. It's already 9:25, brother. I can go for all night, brother. I've got the strength, got the spirit. I've been doing this all day.
Amen.
Been pouring my heart out all day, reaching for lost, brother. And I got strength. Yes, I'll leave the church, man, and the anointing will somewhat lift. And man, I'll be wore out and tired, man. I'm going to hit that chair there in a little bit. Woo, son. But you know what, brother? I got the strength to bring the word. He'll take this body that's been damaged and broke up a little. He'll put strength in it. He'll anoint it. And I don't even feel the pain, brother. It don't even move me. It don't face me. I get up here. I can keep on ministering and keep on going. I know some of you have to work. You know how many times I've worked all day and worked and didn't have no sleep? Many times. And you say, well, your work is different. I don't know. I've done them both, Brother Ed. And sometimes, man, wrestling with devils all day long, fight with beasts at Ephesus, brother. I don't know if you'd rather wrestle a 600-pound devil at Ephesus or go out and lay 200 feet of tile. See, I've done the 200 feet of tile. Wears me out, Brother Rob. Yeah, me too. Amen. I appreciate you men that work and hold jobs and labor. Support the work of God. Make it possible to help people that are desolate. Do things for them. I spent an hour on the phone of listening to a woman bawl and cry, saying, Brother Rob, she worked with Irene and I when we was in the Philippines. Worked and was on the platforms. She said, I've been before the Lord and the Lord showed me you. You kept coming before me in the Lord. And she said, you're the one that's going to meet this need because God's already showed that to me. Need $50,000 within a really short order of time. Said, boy, did her faith move you? Sure did. So I had to go into some doctrine and some revelation, Brother Andy. You see, I'm a servant of God. And if I had $5 million in the bank, which I don't, I got a lot more than that, brother. My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, amen. But regardless, could I use the 50,000 of that to establish a school in the Philippines? Could I? But see, God's given us some biblical principles, brother. And there has to be an order. There has to be a headship. And there's got to be some. We've zealously went and done works in Mexico and established churches with people and things that weren't seasoned, that weren't right. Okay? I still followed the Lord. We done benevolent acts. We reached people, got doctrine into people, and we found some good fellowship there. And we still got people that we fellowship there and support and help. So what are you saying, Brother Rob? We're reaching still, Brother John. Amen. We're reaching across denominational lines. We're reaching out to people. And we'll spend thousands of dollars doing so, trying to win a soul into the kingdom. Well, we get all kinds of people calling us for support. I'm getting calls, brethren, out of Africa continually. I'm getting notifications and calls from people in the Philippines wanting help. Brother, all the time, people want us to get involved with them in their vision. We're doing what we can, Brother Ed. We're sending Bibles. We're sending literature. We're sending word. We're helping some people, seeing some souls won. But the thing is to give $50,000, brethren, there has to be an order. I said, man, I'm going to have to get on an airplane. I'll have to fly over there. And I'm going to have to see this. Well, my sister's running it now. Well, I love your sister. But because I love the sister doesn't mean that she's got the anointing to take on the administration of a school. And for me to get $50,000 and to send it over there, and then it could go to pot, to not, because it takes Holy Ghost. And the sister may be Holy Ghost filled, brother. But it takes a vision and a calling. Now let me talk about that for 5 seconds. Because it's getting later all the time. You see, it takes a vision and a calling, I said. But then we got to go one step beyond the calling. We got to go to a choosing. You might choose your sister. You might choose your uncle. And you might choose your brother. You might choose a pastor that you like. Because you're friends and buddies. And you like fishing with him. But you see, the one that does the choosing The Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. You chose yourself. That doesn't work. You went to Bible college and got ordained. That doesn't work neither. You got to be chosen of God. I appreciate some of the Bible colleges because they've got a criteria that they must meet before they could be ordained or receive the certification that they completed their schooling. That's okay. I'm not opposed to that. But I've known many of them with degrees. John, we had a doctor of theology right here in this church. And I'm telling you something. And I say this with all reverence and respect and honor to my Lord and God, and would never speak against God's anointed. But that man was one of the most ignorant human beings that I'd ever met, Brother Ed. Oh, he could carry on a conversation with you and this and that. But when you say you're a doctor of theology, and I hear false doctrine and ignorance and perversion from too much study of intellect coming out of his mouth, that's why I said he was the most ignorant man I've ever seen. Trying to tell me there were women apostles, Brother John. And then he gets in his concordances and his things and starts going to Hebrew and going to Greek and going to all this and wanting to prove to me that there was women apostles. So I said, okay, brother, I'm all ears, man. Let's sit down and get in the Word. He got his Bible out and he sat down. Well, I'll tell you what, he had a better chance of telling me that Darwin's evolution theory was much more accurate. And you say, well, you dislike women that much? Absolutely not, but I love the Word of God, brother. And I'm going to say, when somebody tries to take the Bible and defile it for their doctrines, but for themselves, I become their enemy, because I'm called in defense of that Word. And I'm going to get the sword out, and I will not hold it back from blood. Don't mess with the Word. You could say you're going to do this and you're going to do that. Just get with it and go for it. But when you bring the Word of God involved in it and think that you're following after the Word, and I see nothing but error and problems, then I say you need to be corrected. Amen. You need to be straightened out. You need to be helped. Amen. Here, John's the keys to the airplane. Go fly it. Just give him a death certificate. He's not a pilot. Oh, I could do that, Brother Rob. I rode around with you. I know you pull back on that thing. Man, it goes up. Yoo-hoo. Woo, yeah, I got it down. That's what a preacher does when he gets behind the sacred desk. All right, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. I tell you what, you better be careful when you mess with God's Word. Amen. Be careful. All right. Sing. We're going to close. Sister Irene, you got to go home with me, and I'm not done.
Clean heart, O Lord.
Habasita liosondri yakisi
tibasi. And renew right spirit within me.
Yasishita liokolo masandare masili yakihindi liakisi.
Create
in me a clean heart. Oh, Lord God, I want a clean heart before you, Lord.
Oh, God.
Oh, Father, I want a right spirit, Lord God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Cast
me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God's good. Isn't it mighty? Awesome. Just to be serving Him. Brother John, I got a perfect peace in my spirit. Amen. You know, the Bible said there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus to them who not walk after the flesh. When you walk in the flesh and you have no condemnation, means your conscience has been seared over with a hot iron. But when you are led by the Spirit of God, you have no condemnation. So see, you can have no condemnation and be in the flesh. But it said there's no condemnation in Christ to them who not walk after the flesh. Amen. In His Spirit. Amen. So if you live like a dog and devil and you ain't under condemnation, and you say you're a son of God and a Christian, there's something wrong. Your conscience has been seared. Because you might fall under condemnation for your foolishness. You'll repent of your sins that he'll purge you and cleanse you and remove the condemnation, and you'll stand in righteousness and purity and holiness and godliness. It's not your Bible, your decisions, your ministry. It's his. Follow the word. Follow the word. Follow the word. Follow Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Bo Frady, I want you to come on up here. Let's worship the Lord. I'm going to turn the sacred desk over to Brother Bo and let him close the service tonight. But let's sing another song or two.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.